Mauritania was the first to distance itself from Qatar. Senegal followed, and in fast succession came Chad, Gabon and Niger. Djibouti, which relies on Qatar for mediation in its border dispute with Eritrea, said it would downgrade its diplomatic relations with Doha. Eritrea cut them all together. The consequences were almost immediate. Qatar withdrew its peacekeepers from the disputed border of Ras Demira on the coast of the Red Sea at one of the world's busiest shipping routes, triggering renewed tensions between the rival countries. Edward Pace, director of the African Research Institute in London, says the situation there is worrying.
Throughout the Horn, the geopolitics are always shifting, but I think that the situation right at the moment does give both, you know, governments in the area and international policymakers real cause for concern, because it is a potential tinderbox.
On the 16th of June, Djibouti accused Eritrea of sending its troops into the contested area of Ras Demira in the vacuum left behind by Qatar. Doha's withdrawal came as a blow, especially since its troops, more than 400, have been stationed in the area since 2010, helping to keep a firm lid on tensions. But now Qatar has bigger problems of its own. Accused of sponsoring terrorism, it's been under a land, sea and air blockade for nearly a month. With it now gone, the potential for repercussions on the much larger Eritrea-Ethiopia conflict are very much real, explains Pace.
The Ethiopian government hinted in April that they were in the process of revisiting their policy on Eritrea. It's generally said that there are no peace, no war. After the very serious conflict between the two in the late 1990s, Ethiopia and Eritrea have been in a standoff over a disputed border. Now, a border demarcation was made by an international court, well, in the early 2000s. Both sides accused the other of not adhering to the rulings of the court. So the border between Ethiopia and Eritrea is highly militarized. And every time that there is a slight flare-up, as there was early on last year, you know, there is real concern that Ethiopia and Eritrea are going back to war.
And just to go back to the fallout from the Gulf crisis, does it sort of surprise you that Eritrea and Djibouti, you know, both came out and, you know, pledged allegiance to Saudi Arabia, despite the fact that they need Qatar to, you know, serve as a mediator in their border dispute?
I don't think that it's a great surprise that both countries went that way, actually. I mean, Djibouti is involved in a sort of permanent game of flogging space for military bases to whoever wants one. And so, you know, you have China now building a significant military base there. Negotiations are underway with Saudi Arabia. That was already ongoing. So, you know, if you look across the straits, then you would be pretty unwise, probably, if you were Djibouti, to side wholeheartedly with Qatar against the mighty Saudi Arabia.
Somalia and other North African countries like Algeria, Tunisia and Morocco, home to large Muslim communities, have all refused to take sides. One reason for that may be to do with religion, explains Olivier Delage, RFI journalist and Gulf specialist.
They are indeed competing, and when you talk about religion in the Muslim world, you're talking about politics as well. So Morocco prides itself on being the representative of a tolerant, modern version of Islam, of the religion, as opposed to the Wahhabi concept, which is more strict, more intolerant, and which is supported by Saudi Arabia and supported by money, by sending imams, by training them at the Medina University. And they compete at the level of Africa, but also in Europe. Morocco is also wary of the rising influence of the Wahhabi imams, not just abroad, but also inside Morocco, where jihadis have taken some clue from the teachings which are widespread in Saudi Arabia. So definitely friends, allies, but up to a point only.
Delage says that Morocco can and will resist Saudi Arabia.
They may stop some financial aid to Morocco for some time, but Morocco is not a poor country. There are poor people in Morocco, but it doesn't mean that Morocco is a poor country. Besides, Qatar might return the favor. I mean, Morocco came to its rescue by sending food. They might send money. In any case, Morocco has enough influence worldwide to be able to withstand any pressure from Saudi Arabia. So I don't think it's going to affect durably the relations between the two. At some stage, they will reconcile.
Saudi Arabia and Morocco may easily reconcile, but the same can't be said for Djibouti and Eritrea. Their simmering border dispute was judged severe enough by the African Union that on the 19th of June, it urged both sides to resolve their differences peacefully. Their tensions have served as proof of why Qatar's presence is needed in this region and others, and this was Qatar's plan all along, suggests Samir Eita, president of the Circle of Arab Economists.
The logic of projection of power is to make troubles and come and say I'm the neutral force that could stop the troubles. So this is not only the case for Qatar, but for many other countries, including Western European countries, including the United States, including Russia. Then when they take back their forces, this means that they will play the same kind of game that they are playing in Libya, in other parts of the region, to weaken the projection of power of UAE and Saudi Arabia. So they are bargaining on that. We will make trouble and you will need us to solve these troubles.
Over the past decade, Qatar has played an influential role in the Horn of Africa, largely through its incredible wealth. It's, after all, the world's largest exporter of liquefied natural gas. Yet it was during the Libyan conflict that it first rose to prominence. Its decision to overtly support the rebels against former leader Muammar Gaddafi took many people by surprise.
Qatar joined Turkey and France to topple Muammar Gaddafi, so it was a gap, a hole in power structure in the African region. And Qatar was doing that to project power in Africa, competing with other countries and especially competing with Saudi Arabia to fill the gap.
Qatar's incursion into Libya was part of its aggressive foreign policy, which has put it at odds with Saudi Arabia and other Gulf countries, which accuse it of punching above its weight. Its influence, as highlighted before, is especially true in the Horn of Africa. Doha has mediated with varying degrees of success the conflicts between Eritrea and Sudan, Eritrea and Djibouti, and Sudan's Darfur conflict. For Samir Eita, Qatar is far from being out of the game, even with a blockade or not.
Qatar will fully continue in its projection of power through Libya and through different other countries in Africa. Look at how countries are positioning themselves, even with all the pressures made by UAE and Saudi Arabia on African countries to stop their diplomatic and other relations with Qatar. Qatar has the help of Turkey, which is very present in Africa through different institutions. So the game is not completely clear that it will be on the side of UAE and Saudi Arabia. Qatar has means, and especially in my opinion, Qatari can fully profit from the Israeli network in the African region.
So where does this rivalry leave a continent? On edge, says Edward Pace.
The fact that everybody in the Horn at the moment is feeling under intense pressure to take sides is a very dangerous situation. I think this is proving most complex, perhaps for the bigger powers, Ethiopia and Sudan. And, it's a decision that few countries would actually wish to have forced on them. But the affairs of the Gulf are now very much the affairs of the Horn of Africa. You have religious competition. There are burgeoning trade ties in a way that would not have been true, say, in the 1990s. And you have considerable movement of peoples. You know, the Gulf countries and the Horn of Africa countries have become linked over the last 5-10 years in a way and to an extent that they have not been for some time.
As Gulf countries continue to air out their differences, governments in the Horn of Africa know that they will feel the consequences, even if they're not entirely sure yet what those consequences may be.